Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. I have my awesome friend and co-host, Rossi, with me. We're here to review Season 2, Episode 6 of The Last of Us. This episode is called The Price. So let's go on ahead and let's review The Price.
What's up, everyone?
Hey, what's up, Rossi? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, John?
I'm doing good. Not knocking myself out like I did Friday.
Yes. Speaking of knocking themselves out, we won't even talk about it.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I had to actually tell my wife that I was actually trying to save her from a beer or something, so that way she would tell her coworkers that I was fighting to the death for her.
That's hilarious. That's great.
Thank you. But yeah, I'll tell you what else. Speaking of prices, you know what else we have here, Rossi?
What do we have?
We actually have a sponsorship through WWE Store, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys about this in 1 minute. Let me go ahead and pull this little thing up that we have here. Right. So use promo code WWE29 to go ahead and get you some merch. Treat yourself even though your wallets tell you no. But yeah, in a world where the infected roam, where survival means smashing clickers and expectations, one store stands tall, like Roman Reigns and the main event. This episode of The Last of Us is sponsored by the WWE Store because even Fungi Apocalypse Drip is eternal. Rock the same gear as your favorite superstars, whether you're dodging bloaters or just trying to impress a firefly with your sweet John Cena hoodie. You can't see me. Yeah, no kidding. You're wearing full camo like Seth Rollins at a surprise cash-in. I ain't fighting the undead without my Stone Cold vest adds plus 10 intimidation. So gear up like a champ, survive with a legend, and remember, when society collapses, the WWE title belt will still slaps. So use WWE's store and use that promo code of WWE29. So there you go.
All right. Get you some gear, guys. Get you some gear.
Let's see. Lori Johnson says, look at my sister.
Hi, Lori.
That's awesome. All right. So.
That's my big sister.
Oh, okay. Hey, yes. Nice to meet you for the first time. That's pretty awesome. Proud of Rossi as well. She's doing fantastic. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
So we all knew that this was going to be a flashback episode.
Yes.
Especially with the way things ended.
Right.
And I love this. I love this episode. It captures the heart of Joel, seeing the background that he's been through
as a teenager
in the 1980s. As a matter of fact, I think it was like 83. His dad's security.
Yes.
His dad's either a cop or a security cop, and you can definitely tell Joel is being abused by his father and also Tommy. And I like this thing of the father telling him, you know what, sometimes just be a better person than I am. So I definitely like the opening scene.
I did too. I like the fact that you got to see them when the world was normal, you know, and you know, you get that, Joel's and Tommy's dad is an absolute hard ass. And the fact that, you know, Tommy was in a room, you know, afraid, you know, dad's gonna, you know, basically whip my ass when he gets home, and how protective Joel was over Tommy. And I like that he, you know, Joel and his dad were able to sit at the kitchen table. His dad give him a little advice, have a beer. And, I like that, you know, just simpler times.
Yeah, a little normalization.
A great opening.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
And it gives us some information into who Joel is and realizing, okay, this is why he's that caring, loving person that he is towards Ellie.
Yeah.
And also towards his real biological daughter in season one as well.
Right.
So he's just doing a little bit better than what his dad does.
Yes.
Did in his past. And I love that whole entire scene. And then you have it opening up to Ellie on her birthday.
Right.
And
I enjoyed that. That was, go ahead, John.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
Sorry. So I really enjoyed that scene because obviously if you played the game, in the game, when she sees, when they go on, you know, on the trail and he's taking her to surprise her for her birthday, and you as a gamer, if you played, you know, part two of The Last of Us, you remember that fun scene where the dinosaur museum and them getting into the spaceship and her imagining that she was like an astronaut taking off. I love how, you know, they show and convey how much Joel just adores Ellie, because remember in the first season, Remember, they couldn't stand each other. He did not want her. He wanted nothing to do with her. And then we see years later how much he basically loves her. That's his daughter. And I love how they had the flashback sequence for us, because you tend to forget that the world is crazy. You tend to forget that, you know, an apocalypse happened, because you see them in their home in Jackson and just normal everyday life. But outside of the house, you know, you got, you know, breeders, and you got, you know, just infected all around them. So this episode was great just for the normalcy of them living in Jackson. You forget what's going on.
Exactly, because even whenever they're inside that, where it has a flashback of the New Year's Eve dance and stuff,
yeah,
and they're just in normal clothes, and it's just like they're inside this world of everything is normal, while the outside is not so normal.
Yeah.
And like you said, I definitely like whenever they go into the museum, and my favorite thing is, too, when she stands on top of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Joel, fucking dinosaur. I know. Get your ass off the dinosaur. Hey, look, there's a museum.
Right. And
he goes, I know. If you get your ass off the dinosaur and you don't fall, I'll bring you to it.
Right, so right.
I like the comedic timing between the two of them. I think it's perfect. It's perfect father and daughter kind of bonding. Then they go into the museum, like you said, and they have that whole entire moment of her acting like she's an astronaut. And she gets to pick up the helmet. And my favorite thing that he does is he actually hands her the cassette tape of the sound effects of the astronauts. So she's envisioning herself as an astronaut.
Yeah.
And her being able to see everything from space. I thought the special effects for it, the sound, it was perfect. I love that as well. I thought that the dynamic between the two of them, I felt like Joel was still with her through the whole entire thing.
Right. Another thing that that stood out to me, and it's probably something really small, but it really stood out to me, was on their way to, you know, the special place that Joel had planned for Ellie. Remember, she was, she had said a word and it was the wrong word, and he corrected her. And it really made you realize that in the time that they're living, there wasn't much schooling. You know what I mean? Like the world had pretty much ended. So you get to see her struggle with certain words, and it makes you remember, okay, she didn't have schooling like that. They didn't have that. If you weren't in a camp, you know, that, or a settlement that didn't have schooling, you're kind of learning from others or learning on your own. So I like how they throw that in there, because there's a few times in this season where Ellie will say a word that's pretty basic, but it's wrong. That just stood out to me, because it reminds you, even though she's 15 years old, it's just still this world that she has grown up in, where she didn't have the opportunities that, you know, everyone had before, you know, the infected took over, you know, before people got sick. So it just stood out to me. I remember mentioning it to my husband and was like, you know, I really like that scene. I like that they do that and throw that in there to remind you, you know.
Me too, because of the fact that, you know, she, in order for her to have that education, she would have to, number one, grew up before the apocalypse happened.
Right. Right.
Or she, like you said, she would actually have to have special schooling within the apocalypse to actually know certain things.
Right.
And I like that as well. It's like, you know, this world is so big to her in this apocalyptic world, but yet she still doesn't quite know everything.
Right.
And she doesn't understand certain things.
Right.
Because of the world that the environment that she's in.
Right.
And it actually humanizes her as well. That's also another thing too. And it really does. I also like it too, when Joel's also bringing up the fact, so, you know about the birds and bees? I heard that you are getting close. Just, you mean dicks and vaginas? Because, Ellie. So I thought it was actually another funny comic thing, but it's also going back to what you were saying, was Joel doesn't know that much about Ellie in a sense, so he needs to know, does she know certain things, so that way he can help her. To help her grow as a young adult, as a teenager in this world.
Right. And the part where, you know, because this flashback, guys, that they're giving us, it goes each year that her birthday, you know, happens, and what happened on her birthday, things that he planned to have, surprises for her on her birthday. So this one birthday, when he walks in a room and she's with the girl, and they're on the bed, and, you know, she's getting the tattoo, and he comes in there and he smells the weed and all. And that father-daughter moment, and, you know, you still flash back to, knowing that they didn't like it. He didn't like her, but look how far they've come. But him really not knowing her, you know, even though it's like it's his daughter, he doesn't really know Ellie like that, you know? So this really shows him getting to know her and trying to be a father to find, you know, what she's interested in. For example, the moth that she draws a lot of moths. And it's for death, resilience, and something else. I looked it up online. But he didn't know that, you know? And so, you know, him looking at that and realizing that she's changing. She's growing up. Things are different for her. And he doesn't understand her being into women as well.
Right. That completely throws him off.
Oh, absolutely.
And he doesn't know how to react to it because this is his first time dealing with it. Don't forget, his daughter also died.
Yes.
At a younger age. So therefore, he never had this experience to actually go down that road up until Ellie. So he doesn't know how to actually act whenever he sees something that's out of the norm to him or anything either. He also has that Seth reaction that he had at New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
The two of them. So, you know, at first he acts like Seth and then he warms up to Ellie and be like, look, I gotta check my emotions and everything at the door.
Right.
And I've gotta, if this is what who she wants to be with and stuff, I gotta support her.
Oh yeah.
And as a father, as a loving father to her, even though Ellie winds up telling him later on, you're not my father, Joel.
Yeah.
Which is true, but it's also heartbreaking at the same time.
Right.
You know, because of that adolescence age. But I definitely like the fact too that Joel is not afraid to learn from her.
No, he's not. You know, he's really caring. And you know, when it hit him of him not knowing her, when he goes in a room and sees her with the girl, and then or that evening when he goes in there and he's trying to make amends for walking in on her. So he's in a room and he starts asking her questions, like, you know, the drawings that she makes and trying to get to know her a little bit more. So he's a loving father. I mean, like you said, his daughter died, you know, so this is his first time experiencing this, and he doesn't want to step on Ellie's toes. Like, he wants to, I feel really wholeheartedly wants to get to know her, but there's still that tension because remember, she's still tripping off of what he told her, you know, about when they went to Seattle, the doctor, there's other infected people in the world, you know, all of that. So that still stings her a little bit, you know? So I love how they approach that subject because it had to come out, and it obviously only came out because of what happened at the lake with Eugene, I think his name is.
Yeah, Eugene. And this is something that else I want to mention because you made a good point though too, was the fact that she even had questions for Joel and she was preparing those questions because some of the stuff just didn't add up to her.
Right.
So, you know, he told her, they couldn't find a cure or anything, and someone came in and killed everybody, and that was it. He didn't tell her the actual truth up until the time with Eugene. So it's like protecting your daughter from things that you don't want her to know.
Yeah, of course. And what did you think about the scene with Eugene, though? Like, when he found him in the woods, like, that's pretty cold-blooded what Joel did, though.
It was, I understand, here's the thing, I feel like no one's really at fault in a sense, like, I feel like it's just the circumstances that Eugene was in. It's like, look, I want to see my daughter, my wife for one last time to tell her that I love her and let her hear it from me. And Joel's also afraid of the timing too. In any moment, I could be walking with this guy and he could turn on me. And if I leave him into the town, he could also wind up turning on the town too. But I understand from survival instincts, but also too, I'm also siding with Ellie too.
Yeah.
Because she's Joel, he has time. Count from 1 to 10 slowly.
Yep.
So I feel like the more time that you're wasting with Eugene, the less time he has.
Right.
With Joel doing what he did, he wasted Eugene's time.
Absolutely.
Like, giving that huge landscape is beautiful, don't get me wrong, but it's not his wife.
That's right. Not
his, and he took away everything that Eugene wanted to say.
Right.
To his wife and stripped it away from him. Even when his wife comes up to him, she gives her the most BS lie and she believes it. And then Ellie winds up, basically saying, no, that's not true. That's not what happened.
Right. No, I, I agree what Ellie wanted to do. Tie him up. You know, there's a way that you can make sure that he doesn't get loose if he turns, but let him say bye to his wife. And so I'm like, when I see him walking with Eugene and like have Eugene turn around, face the lake and tell him to imagine. I mean, how are you going to imagine if you remember her, you can imagine seeing her. So, but when they get back and, you know, Joel gives the wife this BS story, but remember how well he was able to lie about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Ellie's standing there and she's furious. And I think it goes back to the fact that he's already lying to me about what happened in Seattle. And look how well he lied about, you know, what happened with Eugene. I was happy that she called him on it. Like he needed to be called on that. That wasn't cool at all. So now we understand why the psychologist in town, because she'd mentioned that in earlier episodes about, you know, Joel taking her husband away from her. And now we get to see what happened.
Right.
You know, why she feels Joel that way.
Right. And then she also asked Joel, did something else happen?
Yes.
So in our minds, we're thinking, did something else happen on the road in season one with him and Ellie?
Oh, yeah, right.
But no, it's referring back to, did something else happen that I do not know about?
Yeah.
You're hiding and withholding information from me, even though Ellie already told me everything. But are you withholding any more information from me that I need to know about?
Right.
So
I think Joel also, you know, being that he lost his daughter and Ellie's is the closest and only thing that he has as a daughter. He's been with her, the things that they've gone through. I think he tends to forget that when he met Ellie, she was pretty self-sufficient. I mean, she was, you know, mature, you know, beyond her years. So it's not like he, you know, it's not like it was his daughter who'd never experienced this. So she's not that normal 12, 13, 14, even 15-year-old. And he loses sight of that and then wants to treat her like that. And I get it, but in a way, you have to remember who you met when you met her. And now you're making her into this little, darling little girl when she's seen things that no one her age should have seen. So she's not your typical. And a lot of them are not your typical.
Right. And even making choices that no other teen would actually make.
Exactly.
Either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even whenever he said, really, pot and having sex all in one day, he goes, you're under my roof. And I like how she brings it on full circle. He goes, no, Joel, this is none of this shit belongs to you.
Right.
He goes, the people in Jackson just gave it to you.
Right.
This is not your house.
Exactly.
Nothing in here belongs to you other than this clothes off your back, basically.
Right.
Your guns belong to you. Even that horse probably don't even belong to him. So everything is just borrowed.
Right. And not only that, I mean, come on, you go and tell them that you don't want her doing any more of what is it that they do when they're –
yeah, basically scanning the territory around and stuff like that.
He doesn't want her to do that because she's young, but it's like, dude, she just went through a whole bunch of shit with you before. She had a gun. She's killed the infected. Like, what are you talking about? You don't want her to do that. It just didn't make it. As a parent, I get it, but it just doesn't make any sense that he's still trying to hold her or, you know, hide her or shield her from what's out there when she was already out there. She was out there before she even met you.
I have a question, though, for you. Do you feel like because of the fact they have a sense of normalcy in Jackson that he forgets about what the outside world is in a sense where, you know, some days you may not even have to go out or anything like that to scan the around or anything.
Go ahead.
So maybe he's forgetting where he came from just as anything else. So maybe he's just having that chance of normalcy to where it's like, this is our home. This is my house.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I get that because in this episode, they show that. They show them in their home. They don't really show anything that's going out in the world until she comes back to herself. So yeah, you get the sense of this is a normal home. Her being a teenager, things that teenagers do. He's totally forgetting that because they haven't been out there like that. Like he told her when that trail that they went down, nothing happens in that area. It's pretty, you know, pretty quiet. So yeah, he's gotten used to it and now wants to, do that. I'm your dad. You're my little girl. And, you know, yeah.
Right.
So I get that. I totally get that.
The other sweet moment is when he goes over to Seth wanting the birthday cake for Ellie.
Right.
And instead she ends up accidentally spelling it Eli. Because, well, I hope his spelling, right. I hope his cake tastes better than his spelling.
Right.
And she just digs right up on it. And he goes, it is. It's good.
Right.
But, you know, but then we have the confrontation.
Yes.
Now, after all the events that happened, at the New Year's Eve party, and then we see Joel on the porch.
Yeah.
And I like how she says, oh, you got coffee? He goes, yeah. But the trade, it was embarrassing on what I had to trade for it, but good. And, she eases into it with confronting him. She goes, look, that same face that you had when we confronted Eugene is the same face you had with me when we were talking about the fireflies.
Right.
Now, what exactly happened?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
No, I was like, it's about time we have this conversation. You know, he needs to be honest with her. And the fact that the way that they just both cried and she was just, he did take an opportunity for her to have had something to live for. She was the cure. But then you get where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose another child. And that's basically what it is. I don't want to lose another child. At this point, I love you. But all of this would have been gone. There would have been a cure if he would have allowed them to make the cure. She would have died, but still. And then the fact that he says, I'll do it all back over again to her. That's like a slap in my face. Like, for real?
Right. It's like, you didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
Even with Eugene. But also too, she's like, he also stripped away her choice just as he stripped away Eugene's choice.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And everything too. So, yeah. You know, she's like, look, that was my choice to make. If I need to die to actually help these people, I'm going to do it
because
there won't be any more of this apocalypse anymore.
Right.
And because you made that choice for me, we're stuck in this even longer.
Yeah.
When we could have actually had a cure for me, I could have sacrificed myself for the good of mankind, but because of your own selfishness, because she's thinking of him as being selfish.
Yeah.
And everything, even though Joel's concerning it, not him being selfish, it's looking at her like a daughter, even though he's not her daughter, but he's stripping away the choice that she could have made to make a world a better place.
Right. No, and I got her. I mean, cause now think about it. When she looks around, when she looks at people, people are dying, you know, people are getting infected. She knows that this could have all stopped if it weren't for the fact that he took this away from me. So forever, she'll live with that. She'll know that this could have been done. And, you know, my question is this. Could she still be the cure, though?
I think she could still be the cure.
You know?
I think she could be. But my other thing, though, too, is if you confront Abby... And I know this is a revenge story.
Yeah.
Would she say, hey, look, I got you. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I still love Joel. We had our disagreements and stuff.
Right.
What you did was way out of control and way out of line.
Absolutely.
But look, if there's a chance to be cured, I would like to actually have a chance to be cured.
Right. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, I just thought about that. Like, she's still the cure. She still can, you know, help a lot of people. And that's another thing, guys, is that no one in town knows that Ellie's the cure other than Tommy. And does his wife even know that she's the cure? Does Tommy's wife?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's just Joel, Tommy, and Ellie only know that. And now Dina,
and
of course.
Dina.
You know, of course, Dina. But yeah, no one knows in the town. How would they feel knowing that this person that's walking around could cure all of us? You know, mothers could save their kids, like, wives, husbands, you know, brothers, sisters. So, yeah, it wouldn't fare well.
No.
You know what I mean?
Too, Rossi, it also puts a target on Ellie's back.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody's going to wind up trying to either kick her out of Jackson or kill her.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Dude, yes. Because of Joel's decision.
Right.
He doesn't even realize the fact that, you know, you put a target on her back because of the choice that you made.
Right.
So.
This was a good episode. It was a really good episode. It was quiet, you know, like I said, I like the normalization of seeing them and their life in Jackson and what happened. Why was Ellie upset with Joel? You know, everything that happened up until where we're at, you know, in the next episode, you know, or the last episode. So I really enjoyed this episode. It was really good.
I think it was a chance for us to mourn over Joel.
Yes.
Ellie's mourning over him. And then right. We had that whole entire scene. At first, I thought she was sleeping through this whole entire thing. But no, she's walking and remembering this. And it's thundering and storming. And she finally reached the building where Abby's at.
Right.
So now we have the confrontation coming up on the 7th episode, it looks like.
Yes. And I'm so excited about that. I'm looking forward to seeing how we're going to deal with this.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've never played the second game. I only played the first game. So I've been basically what I've been doing is I've been just looking at YouTube clips.
Yep.
Doing it that way and comparing it. And so that way I have my own way of actually experiencing it, even though I would love to play the game. But this is actually my way of doing it after the episode. And, you know, I do like this show and stuff. And, yeah, I think that now my other question is this. Do you think that they should have aged her up a little bit with her birthdays, or do you feel like that it was fine? I was just wondering.
No, I was okay with that.
Okay.
I was absolutely okay with that. Yeah, you got a lot of people that look, you know, when they're 14 or 19, still look a little bit of 14 or 15 years old. So I was good with that. Her maturity and attitude, you know, allowed you to realize that she was 19. She wasn't 14 anymore. So that helps out.
Yes, it definitely does.
Yeah.
So, great, solid episode for this one. Yes. I have no complaints, nothing bad about this episode.
No.
All right. So, Rossi, I know that you have a couple of announcements as far as your shows go. So, I'll go ahead and do it, and I'll do mine.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to let you guys know. I know you guys that watch Rossi's Clubhouse. I have Payday 916. He's finally going to come on the show tonight. We'll be recording it and it'll be dropped on a Monday. Also it'll be, uploaded to all major podcast platforms. So look out for that. I can't wait to interview Payday 916, Sacramento, you guys. And I have, great shows coming up for you on Rossi's Clubhouse. John and I will join you guys next week for The Last of Us. And, July on Rossi's Clubhouse, we're doing the month of music. Okay. Celebrating summer and music. So look out for that. I have a lot of great artists coming up, you guys.
I have my Hawaiian shirt ready.
All right.
Tropical.
All right.
I'm good. I'm getting my Miami style, California style shirt out right now. But I have Stu and Smith coming back from It Doesn't Hold Up podcast. And this time we are actually reviewing I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is also perfect for, well, it's not perfect for the music from summer, but you know, it's still a great time to watch a horror movie.
Hey, so, there you go.
And then in August, I have the Doom Generation podcast coming on.
Cool.
I had them on for Serial Mom about 2 years ago. Yes. I reached out to them today, and we actually made it official that they are coming back, and we're going to be doing Airborne. So I can't wait to actually dive into Airborne. I love that movie, one of my favorite 90s movies. And also Tesla's favorite horror movie as well. Not horror movie, but favorite 90s movie. Sorry about that. But yeah. But anyways, guys, tell us in the comments. We'd like to actually geek out with you, nerd out with you a little bit. Tell us what you guys think of The Last of Us Episode 6, The Price. Tell me what you guys think. Don't forget to get you guys some merch. Treat yourself to some WWE store. It helps you out. It helps me out. Helps Rossi out. Helps everybody out. We're like the cure for merch. So there you go. All right, guys. Well, that's it as far as our show goes. Have a great and safe night. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Nothing says summer like a rich, creamy ice cream float from Skyline. Made with 2 scoops of fresh vanilla ice cream and your choice of Barq's Root Beer, Barq's Red Cream Soda, or any of their Coke products. At participating Skyline locations while supplies last.